It seems nobody much is too happy with the latest water plan for the Murray-Darling. The Murray-Darling Basin Authority, backed by the Water Minister, Barnaby Joyce, as we reported yesterday, wants to reduce the amount of water it takes from agriculture to give to the environment by 70 billion litres, 70 gigalitres. It says the cut was necessary because the river communities in northwest New South Wales and southwest Queensland have been hit hard by job losses. And the Murray-Darling Basin Plan, struck 4 years ago, required that there be no detrimental social or economic impacts. But further down the river system, to the mouth of the Murray River, there is anger that this measure, designed to help the environment and improve water quality, is now being reneged on. I'm joined by two guests this morning, one from the north and one from the far south of the river system. Fiona Gaskey is the Deputy Mayor of the Boulogne Shire Council, which takes in the irrigation farming communities around St George and Dirrabandi in southwest Queensland. And Leslie Fisher is from a dairy farming family based on the shores of Lake Alexandrina in South Australia, close to the mouth of the Murray River. Fiona and Leslie, welcome to breakfast.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Fiona, the Murray-Darling Basin Plan was implemented 4 years ago. It was supposed to balance the needs of the river and the needs of the water users, the irrigators. How soon after the plan was put in place did you see the impact on the community there in Queensland?
So we knew fairly early on, anecdotally of course, that this was having a significant impact on our community, and we have been crying for a socioeconomic impact study for quite a while. So we knew that people were leaving the community, people such as contractors. We knew that business was contracting and that business confidence was declining. So it's pretty disappointing to think that this could potentially continue, and we know that our community is at the moment on the edge.
And when you say on the edge, you mean like a tipping point? People are leaving, and enough people will leave, what, the communities will be unsustainable? What are you saying? What's the stakes here?
Yes, so declining communities are unsustainable, and we know from the figures that we have that there have been significant job losses and that this has had a flow-on effect to the population. This is affecting housing values. It's creating mortgage stress. And there are social issues from the lack of meaningful employment. The people left behind are suffering. So, yes, I do believe we are on a tipping point.
And, of course, others would say no river, no communities.
Absolutely. This is our livelihood. This is what our communities are based on. And if we have a significant loss of irrigated area and viable productive land, then what do we do? have no reason to exist.
Leslie, what do you feel when you hear Fiona say that?
I feel for them. We've already gone through the drought down here. I'm actually live on the shores of Lake Albert, and I'm not angry with any of this. I think that rural communities have been dying for a long time. And people need to understand what is happening out there in the rural sector. Governments have encouraged businesses and people to move to the cities. They don't understand the importance of rural Australia, and I'm talking all regions. For a long time, regions have been dying, and I applaud those that stay on.
Okay, but are you saying they're dying not because the water's being taken out of the river, though? Is that what you're saying?
That's part of it, but it's the big picture you've got to look at. And, like I said, I've seen it happen to our community back in 2007. Our community almost closed down. We've lost 95% of our water allocations or licences already.
And how have you coped with that? I mean, that's a massive adjustment. How have the communities adjusted?
We are resilient. We've had to do other things. We've had to readjust. We lost a lot of people. Our school, we lost 50% of our children in our school as businesses, farms, and that closed down. People moved away. But if you believe in your area, you will come up with something else. That you just got to look wider Okay.
Fiona, I'll come back to you in just 1 second. I just want to get this sense of Leslie, from Leslie.
Sure.
How different the situation now is there for you on Lake Alexandrina and thereabouts in the South Australian end since the Murray-Darling Basin Water Plan was put in practice 4 or 5 years ago? Has it changed?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Leslie. No, as community.
It hasn't improved?
No. Well, Mother Nature has improved it. We've had the flows down. I don't think anything has... I mean, we've got a fresher lake, but I can't say whether that's because of the plan or because of Mother Nature.
Okay. So it seems to me that both of you are sort of saying that the plan, you know, 70 gigalitres of water here or there doesn't make a lot of difference down the river, which is what the minister is saying, Barnaby Joyce is saying. But upriver, Fiona, you're saying it makes a big difference. What do you make of Leslie's point, though, that, you know, rural communities are dying? It's not just about the river.
Oh, I definitely think that Leslie makes a great point. And we are resilient communities and we are coming off the back of significant drought. But I do think that the socioeconomic impact studies were able to identify losses to our economy as a result of water buybacks and separate as much as possible losses due to things like drought or improved technology on farm. So for us, I still believe we are at a tipping point, and yes, we are resilient. And yes, you know, maybe we will come through this, but really we cannot afford to have any more water taken out of our communities because we are irrigated communities. That is how we survive.
Okay, but then there's a whole lot of people who say the river can't afford to have even less water in it, that the river itself will die.
And what I would say to that is that we are absolute advocates for healthy and sustainable river systems.
So how do these two things sit side by side?
They can sit side by side if we can pursue and put resources towards the pursuit of complementary measures. And that has been suggested, and I know that the Deputy Prime Minister is supportive of a task force in which we can look at this, and we would absolutely advocate and endorse the pursuit of those measures.
And for those of us who aren't irrigators and don't know this well, what does that mean, complementary measures?
Well, look, I'm not going to pretend to be a scientist, Fran. The complementary measures are things such as fish ladders, cold water pollution mitigation, protection of environmental flows throughout the system, and just smarter management of water that's already been recovered.
All right. So you say no water buybacks, no more water buybacks. That would kill off the irrigators.
I would say no more water buybacks for definitely the Condamine Ballon. We just cannot afford it. Our communities are suffering. We've had a 50% loss in our school numbers as well in Deer and Bandy, so I absolutely empathise with what Leslie is saying.
Leslie, what do you think about this notion of irrigators saying, okay, we can get more water into the river, not by buybacks, but by complementary measures? Do you trust that?
It would have to be monitored as to what it is. But we down the bottom end, we don't actually get our water from there. Ours is mainly from the River Murray itself, the Murray catchment. So whatever they do up there is what they do. It's really nothing to do with us. All we ask for here is that we've got there's 2 million tonnes of salt in the river system,
yeah,
in River Murray, and that needs to be flushed out of the system.
Mm.
And so the easiest way to say, to show other people what I mean is, if you've done a hard day's work and you get in the bath and you wash yourself, you pull the plug out and the water drains out and there's sediment left on the bottom of the bath. But if you have a really hard day's work, if we're working out in the paddocks and that, then you go and come home, have a bath, and then you pull the plug and the sediment stays. There's still a lot more sediment there.
Sure.
And you need more water to flush it out of the system. And that's exactly what we need down here. The more that is pulled out, the more...
Isn't that the point, though, that the 70 gigalitres is being pulled out so it can hopefully stay around the communities like Fiona's community, means it's not there in the system to flush down to the ultimately to where you are?
Yeah, well, it's just it's really difficult because we're at the bottom end of the system. we can see, and like I said, we've lost 95% of our water, and we really struggled through all of this, and all communities are hurting. But you can't just keep taking water out and think that the system is going to be healthy. You can't just keep drawing it out.
Okay.
You still need flush of water all the way through the system.
We've got to go, but can I just ask each of you briefly, because I know, Leslie, you believe that the water issues will be forever with us, but people just need to be able to get together to better understand each other's circumstance and outlook. You two have got together today. Fiona, has that shifted anything for you?
I absolutely understand what Leslie is saying, but I really think it is time that our decision makers stand up together, show some solidarity, show some courage, and make these hard decisions. We can do it. We just need to work together.
And Leslie, what about you?
Well, I think we've been working together through the Murray-Darling Basin Plan. We've had community workshops, and community people have been working in with all of this sort of thing, and it's being done. We've had the opportunity, but before 2007, we didn't have a plan for the whole basin, and water was just being pulled out willy-nilly. Now we've got a plan, and it's something to work with into the future. And don't just knock it because you don't agree with it. You can work with it, and it can, hopefully it can be a workable plan.
Okay, I guess it depends how much it gets altered along the way. Fiona Gaskey and Leslie Fisher, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Fran.
Fiona Gaskey is the Deputy Mayor of the Ballonshire Council, which takes in the irrigation farming communities around St George and Dirrabandi in southwest Queensland. And Leslie Fisher is a dairy farmer on the shores of Lake Alexandrina in South Australia, close to the mouth of the Murray. It's 8:17 on Breakfast.